there is some proposals already on the table, looking at ways that we can better serve public safety without incarcerating nonviolent offenders. It costs us a $36,000 a year to do that, which takes away from our ability to fund our schools and provide for higher ed. And so there is a couple of bills that are already kind of being tossed around a little bit about addressing some of those issues. I hope to join in that effort to not just save us money, but to really do smart public policy around public safety. And I'm also looking at ways for us to look on the environmental side as well. I look forward to talking to the governor-elect on the issue of the PCBs at Muhammad Aquifer. Again, the community supports the effort to ban that practice out there in DeWitt County. And so I'm looking forward to us talking about how we can move forward on that, not just the sole source designation, but for the state of Illinois to take a strong position protecting the water supply. And so I'm looking forward to some of the environmental issues as well.
With Democrats still holding a supermajority, but a Republican governor-elect, how do you get anything done in Springfield, and what are priorities?
Certainly, there's going to have to be some compromise between the different levels of government, right? So you're talking about the legislative branch, and it's always complicated to get things done. But I think I've spoken to several representatives already, and they're excited about saying, this is what we'd like to get done, speaking to the new governor, and put in a position on the floor as far as what's priority for our communities. We're going to have to work on some things, and then some things just ain't going to go our way, and they won't go his way. So we'll have to figure out how to build a relationship between the legislators and the governor.
I think about some issues that Naomi Jacobson stood for. I mean, she's been an advocate for progressive income tax, education.
Well, certainly I think that there is, again, there is some support in the House to pass a progressive income tax, to look at comprehensive tax reform. That's going to be a hard one, right? That's going to still be a hard fight. Don't mean that because it's hard that we don't make the fight happen. We'll continue to put forward good policy that really address the needs of the whole state. The state doesn't have money, so whoever the governor is, right, coming in now, Governor-elect Rahner is going to have to say, how do we address our deficit of funding? And that's going to be the top priority.
Are there priorities you'd like to see the legislature address in the upcoming lame duck veto session?
I'm going to go and watch our current state representative, Naomi Jacobson. I plan to join her for the veto session. And I haven't gotten out of too many legislators too much of what they're going to do at this point. They haven't let me in on the secret. But I think the governor has said that he wants to make the current state income tax permanent. I don't know if he will or won't. I don't know what the legislators are going to do at this point. He wants to make that minimum wage. He wants to raise it before he leaves. Many of the legislators support that initiative. So I think there are a few things on the table that all of us are interested in, and I'll be I'll be a spectator at that point.
When you won in the primary, it was seen by some as a victory against the Madigan machine. Mike Madigan is a long-serving, powerful House Speaker. You're coming in with new ideas, strengths, and priorities. How do you build a relationship with him that lets you focus on some of those areas?
You know, I think that the primary was a very difficult primary, but we were convinced that we had the pulse of our community here. And that we needed to just get to the voters and give them our message. And that was a successful run. Right after we won the primary, I did get that famous phone call from the Speaker of the House. And he said, his staff called us and said, congratulations. And the Speaker called and said, congratulations. And the following week, they said, well, we'll be happy to send, you know, staff to help you into the general election. And we said, we really appreciate that, but I think our staff can do it. And we set the course of a negotiated relationship with the Speaker of the House and the leaders there. And so we want to continue to work on negotiating our best interests. That's exactly what we've done all the way up until this point to win the general election. We made sure that our image was controlled. We made sure that we were the decision makers in this process. And that's what we intend to do in the future. Of course, the Speaker is a very powerful man, and we want to be represented in the House for our district. And we'll continue to work with the leadership of the caucus. But we will make the decisions in the best interest of our district.
You will be the first African-American to represent Champaign-Urbana in the General Assembly. Being the first to do anything is an honor. It can also carry a lot of responsibility. So how do you balance those expectations with your own goals and the political reality of in Springfield?
I guess I'm certainly honored to be the first African-American. In one way, it is certainly an honor, but in another, it kind of gives us a benchmark as to where we are, right? How far we've come and how much further we have to go. Unfortunately, we still have a lot of firsts, but I'm happy to at least pave the way for others to come behind me. But that hasn't been the direction of all of the public service work that I've done. It's really been based on the needs of the community and the people that are interested in those particular needs. It was never based on what their race or ethnicity was. And so what we did was we really built a campaign that reflected the community. We had everyone from every age bracket, every walk of life, unemployed, employed, retired, black, white, Asian, French speaking, Spanish speaking. The campaign really, I think, reflected the community. And so my work in Springfield will reflect that diversity of the community, and I'll continue to do that.
President Obama has been criticized by some prominent black Americans for not doing more to represent black voters. Do you feel additional pressure to give voice to those who feel they haven't had a voice?
You know, I stand on a platform of equity and justice. I always have. And so I'll continue to give voice to any community that really needs to have a place at the table. I think that's always been very important to me, and I think it's important to this community. I've come to love this community as a person that didn't grow up here but moved here some 15 years ago. And in that time, I've learned all of the different needs, from people who were owning farmland out at the Olympian Drive area who felt that they were not being really represented well on the county board issue for Olympian Drive. None of those people looks like me, but I was very happy to advocate for them. And so for me, it is important for me to continue to represent the equity and justice of our community, the need that needs to be filled, and that's not necessarily reflective to what their race or ethnicity or economic circumstances might be.